There we go. Thank you. All right, we are now going to begin the Sussex Academy board meeting. It's February 28, 2024. It is 4:05 p.m. We're going to call to order and do roll call, and we will start over here with Janet.
Janet Owens, interim head of schools.
Jen Donahue, board president.
Ed Hale, vice president.
Ed Shaseel, board member.
Brittany Breslin, board treasurer.
Jill Green, board member.
Amy Goodhue, board member.
Chris Brady, board member emeritus.
Andrew Rogers, board secretary. Reed Elementary School teacher rep. Lauren Rusty, secondary campus teacher rep. Justine Smolens, board member.
Erin Pertiniak, board member.
And we'll go up over there.
Sherry Montgomery, director of student services.
Andy Davis, finance.
And back over there.
Two okay. Fan four, spectator.
All right, spectator.
Daniel Furlong.
JDS coach.
And on our Zoom, Uday. Can you hear us, Uday? Let's go to Franny, if you could just state your name for our recording.
Franny Silcott, Director of Human Resources.
Thanks, Franny. Uday. We'll come back to Uday. We are going to welcome our new member reps shortly. We are going to first do the approval of the minutes. There's Uday. All right, so we're going to say, let the record reflect that Uday is acknowledging his presence on Zoom. Okay, and he's driving fast.
He's still waving.
Okay, so the first order of business, though, is going to be the approval of the minutes from our last meeting. Everyone received those from Andrea, and those are from January 24th, 2024. Are there any comments, edits, suggestions, or any changes? Seeing no hands raised or any comments, I will entertain a motion to approve. Okay, we've got Amy and second.
Second.
That's going to be Erin. She won that one. all in favor? Any abstentions? I think formally Megan and Lauren will have to abstain. Any other abstentions? And motion carries. Any opposed? I missed that. Okay. Motion carries. So those minutes will be approved. And I'm going to also at this point request a motion to modify the agenda so that we can bring up 8A, which is the swearing in of the new faculty representatives, up to the number Roman numeral number 3, so we can have them sworn in prior to the actual full meeting starting. So motion.
Motion to amend the agenda, move into our swearing in of new faculty representatives.
Thank you, Patches. Second?
Yep. Second.
Was that? Jill, okay. All in favor? Any opposed? And any abstentions? Just Lauren and Megan. All right, motion carries. Lauren and Megan, before you should have two documents. The one is the conflict of interest that we would just ask you to fill out before the end of the meeting. And then the other is the formal oath that you both will be taking. I will go ahead and read the oath. And then we, at the end of that, we would just ask that you say, I do, in agreement to the oath. And we'll start with Lauren Perezny.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it out phonetically with the help of, who's not here, but I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of Delaware, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of school board member according to the best of my ability. And I do further solemnly swear that I will not directly or indirectly pay, offer, or promise to pay, contribute, or offer or promise to contribute any money or other valuable thing as consideration or reward for the giving or withholding a vote on any issue.
I do.
Thank you. And if you could go ahead and sign that document, and then we will move on to Megan Reed. I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of Delaware, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of School Board Member according to the best of my ability. And I do further solemnly swear that I will not indirectly or directly pay, offer, or promise to pay, contribute, or offer, or promise to contribute any money or other valuable thing as consideration or reward for the giving or withholding a vote on any issue. Excellent. You could also sign your oath. And welcome, both of you. We're happy to have you. Okay. Next item on the agenda is public comment. Lots of papers. Please know that the Executive Board of Sussex Academy appreciates your input. Members of the board will not respond to public comments made during the board meeting. The board will not hear complaints against personnel or any students in a public board meeting. Any complaint about Sussex Academy, including instruction, discipline, personnel, procedure, policy, or curriculum, should be referred through the proper procedure set forth in the board policy manual section 1102 before it may be presented to the board. Thereafter, if such a complaint is sought to be brought before the board, then it must be made in writing and submitted on the required form contained in the board policy manual section 1102, and public comment is limited to 3 minutes per person. Do we have any public comment today? We do not. We will move on to the next agenda item, which is the interim head of school report. Janet?
Cool. Okay. Since the last time we met, February, there's a lot going on. February 7th was the National Read Aloud Day. So Ms. Leonard, our librarian, actually put together some videos with our high school and middle school students reading. They made videos and then reading the books and acting out some of the scenes of the books and things like that. She loaded them onto the Google Drive so that the elementary teachers had a library of videos that they could access. Several of them did that. Our kids love doing it. We talked about next year maybe doing it live visits instead of videos. I think that would be much more, you know, interactive for them to do that. But it was very well received by the elementary students. So on February 14th, that was actually the public hearing for public education by the state's Joint Finance Committee. So the Charter School Network led this Valentine's for our legislators, and our elementary students made Valentine invitations and notes and cards and things like that, that Kendall Massett, the head of the Charter School Network, actually delivered to the Joint Finance Committee, to smooth the way a little bit and actually invite them to come to the schools and kind of see what's going on. And that was done by all the charter schools across the state. So we are ending trimester two this week, and exams are tomorrow and Friday. So our trimester three starts next week. There's no school Monday or Tuesday. Teachers will be prepping and grading and holding parent conferences and getting ready for trimester three that officially starts really on Wednesday when the kids will come back. Very, very busy winter sports season, a very successful winter sports season. This was the first year that we hosted the Capital Classic Middle School Basketball Tournament. We had 13 middle school teams here last weekend. Our middle school boys won our bracket. Yay. They had it for not. They were a lot of fun to watch. They're a good team. And in talking to them, they're all staying for next year. There's a lot of eighth graders and they're all staying. And the middle school basketball coach, I'm hoping, is going to move up and actually help coach the high school team. So they had a really good season. It was kind of capped off by them winning their bracket of the tournament. That was a really good weekend. Indoor track had several athletes that placed at the conference meet. They had two first place winners. Jay, is that correct? And then they also had, third place and fifth place and sixth place. So that was a very successful season. Our girls swim team cleaned up.
Yeah,
we had two first team all states, and one of them is a freshman. And those same two girls also took first in at events at States this past weekend. And again, one of them was a freshman, so we're really excited about that. So they had a fantastic season. The boys also had a good season. They finished sixth in the state this past weekend. Wrestling team is finishing up. We have two wrestlers that are going to participate in the state tournament this weekend coming up. So that's exciting. And our girls basketball team improved their record by quite a bit. They finished 7-13. We had spring tryouts start Monday. And we had 435 kids here. And just so you can do the math, we only have 800 on the secondary campus. That means more than 50% of our kids were here trying out for a sport. And that did not include golf, middle school softball, or missing one. Boys volleyball. So that means more than half of our kids want to play a sport here. So that was really, really exciting. It was a beautiful day outside. So it was just a great day all together on Monday, and then the rain set in. we're looking forward to a really busy spring season. Baseball is getting ready to go on a really cool experience in Florida. They're going to the Jackie Robinson training complex. I think there's 15 boys going. What do they call it, a spring training experience or something? Mm-hmm. So they leave on March the 7th, and they'll come back March 12th. They promised me they'll be back in time to take the SAT and the PSAT. The 13th. So they're getting ready for that. They're excited about that. The middle school actually sat in on a performance of Anne of Green Gables last month. That was a student directed play. So good. And it was really led by some of our high school students. It was really impressive. And if you kind of saw some things going on, our middle school students are now working on their own production. It is Mary Poppins Jr., which is going to be performed for the elementary school next Thursday and then open to the public next weekend. So if you have a chance or if you have some kids that you think that will enjoy that, I think it's going to be a really good show. Yeah, I think that is it. We did send out the intent to return form on Monday. I don't know if you saw that. The deadline to complete that is March 15th. So far, we have 694 responses, I think, the last time I checked today. Only four responded. They were going to come up, talk to all four of them. Two of them gave me a maybe. So we'll see if we can maybe, you know, change their mind. But that was a very immediate response when that was sent out. So a lot of families have already filled it out, and they just have a couple more weeks. So we will remind them. To make sure that comes in before the end of the choice deadline. And I think that is it.
Thank you very much. Anyone have questions for Janet? Now, we do not have Michelle yet. I believe she said that she was 15 minutes late.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's not, we would know if she was trying to get children, right?
Mm-hmm. Good. So we can go out of order while we're waiting for her.
Okay.
If that's good with you, Brittany.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If she doesn't come, I can bring them, but I'm not prepared. Like, I don't have it.
Sure.
Up there.
No worries. So I'm going to, do you want to address the idea with the
email? I can.
Yeah, it's the time. Another motion to amend the agenda to move up under new business, letter E, annual report. That is something that Janet wanted to present to the board, and it will be for it's a voting item. So let's go ahead and do that. You did send that out to the board members last week, I believe, but I need the motion. So motion to amend.
So moved.
That was Brittany. Second. That was Justina. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any extensions? Okay. I'll turn it over to you if you're ready.
So I send you a really thick document, which is why I sent it to you ahead of time so you had a chance to look it over. Each year, all schools in Delaware are measured on their academic progress on something called the DSSF. Charter schools get measured on that, and then two additional areas. They get charged or get held accountable for their academics, their organizational framework, and their performance framework. Okay, our financial framework. So each year we are required to complete an annual report that the board is supposed to vote on. And if you had a chance to look at it, basically all it really is an accumulation of data that shows whether we have met certain metrics in academics, certain metrics in our finances and whether we are organizationally sound. You'll notice that there are several areas. It can go from, you know, above expectations, it may meet expectations to, you know, doesn't meet expectations. I will tell you that across the state, charter schools were a little disturbed by the results of this year, and that is because everyone's ratings went down a little bit. Everyone's state assessment scores went down. So their academic accountability ratings went down. That was something statewide that was seen, and that included us. Our accountability rating for our academics went down. So if you look, basically it starts with our school profile. All they do is they send us all the information they have. I have to get the data to fill in any of the gaps that they were missing. And then we have to address anything that needs addressing. So anything that's an area of concern or something that we would love to give more extra data or something that we would like them to consider, we would give them comments or additional data on those different areas. So this is actually really important, not today, but at some point for the board to understand, because this is what keeps us open. So when a charter is opened, they sign a performance agreement and they make promises. And then at the end of every year, the state measures whether they've met their promises or not. At the end of what used to be the 5-year term, when the charter is up for renewal, they look at their annual reports to see if they have met those, you know, the state, what they promised they would do. We are currently under a 10-year charter. First school to ever get that in Delaware. But in 3 years, we'll be up for another renewal. So the state will look at all of our annual reports. They will look at our last performance agreement and they will see whether we are academically sound, financially sound, and organizationally sound. So this is something that the board really should spend some time on, either every summer at the retreat or just to kind of really understand what the different metrics are and the areas that need improvement, how they could be improved upon, if that makes sense. For tonight's purpose, all we really have to do is, if you guys don't have any questions, we have to vote to approve to send this to DOE to have it published on DOE's website that we accept that this is our annual report. But I did want to give you an opportunity to ask any questions that you might have about different things you might have seen. Brittany was a big help in adding some of the finance pieces, and so was Michelle and Jen, and I think Ed added a few things for organizational for me. But if you've had a chance to look, was there any area that you had questions about or didn't quite understand?
What was the reason that everybody went down a notch?
I hate to say it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's statewide. Everybody saw the same amount of decline. It was truly a national problem, mm-hmm. But everybody saw the same time.
It's going to take many years to get back.
Because you'll see the biggest decline was in second, third, and fourth grade. Well, third and fourth grade, because that's back. But they're the kids who were impacted the most. So it'll be a while before we kind of put ourselves out of that.
Were you already able to do any rebuttals that you had? Are those already incorporated, or you get to do that after you
submit? No, all the things I wanted to explain are in the school comments. So, for example, one thing that I always want to say, because they want to show that the whole program is working, used to be 6 to 12, now K to 12. So I always like to point to the fact that if you look at our SAT scores, kids who start with us in sixth grade do significantly better on the SAT than kids who start with us in high school. That shows the success of our program. As our elementary school continues and we get more data, hopefully we're going to show that kids who start with us in elementary school do significantly better on those kinds of accountability, you know, measures. So things like that, our AP scores are really good in a lot of areas, you know, so things like that, I just give them additional data just so that anybody can read those reports if they want to know about charter schools in Delaware. So they can look and see, you know, there's more to Sussex Academy than just what's in the report. There's other things too. So all the kind of rebuttal or whatever or evidence is in the school comments that's already been put there.
So I'm just looking on page 7 where it's the chart about the academic achievement, academic mm-hmm. progress. It looks as though for academic achievement, we meet expectations. In years past, has that been different? Have we exceeded?
We've always been exceeding on all of those.
All of these?
Every single one of them, except progress towards English language proficiency. This was the first year we had what they call a cohort. The first year we had enough kids to count as a cell. Uh-huh. That was never counted for. That was always left out of our Okay. So we are well below, which does not surprise me because we're seeing an influx of students who need those services. Mm-hmm. So we definitely have some work to do there. But everything else, yes, we've always been exceeds expectations. But so have other charter schools.
So we saw the same decline.
No.
Does anyone else have any questions or comments about the report?
Yeah, I do. So the English language proficiency, so you write in the comments that you have a teacher and you
that's address how we're trying to improve, you know, really address the needs of the students that we're getting in that area.
You have one teacher.
We have well, technically we have one and a half. We have a coordinator at the high school level who organizes all the services and serves as a part-time teacher. And then we have an elementary teacher who helps serve elementary and middle. We probably need more. Because we're seeing tremendous growth in that area. So.
And so for budgetary reasons, we might want to keep an eye on that.
Definitely.
What that would cost.
And
because it's necessary.
It is. And a side note, that the test that measures that proficiency is incredibly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly difficult for our kids to take. So it's my opinion.
It's a very well written report. Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions? Motion for approval to send this annual report to the DOE for publication.
Mm-hmm.
I'll entertain that motion.
Motion.
Yep. Right here.
Aaron, second will be Ed because I had to push him.
I'm reading.
Come on, VP. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Any abstention? Motion carries. Thank you very much. And have we done this in the past? Formal approval?
Not sure.
Okay, that's a good answer.
That's a lot of
time.
We're figuring it out.
That's okay. We're figuring it out. All right. We still do not have Michelle, do we? All right. So.
Jim.
That's what I was thinking.
The
track presentation? Yes. Sure. I'm going to ask for another motion to amend the agenda one more time. Well, nope. I might be lying. To move the new business letter A track presentation on the next item to be addressed. So a motion.
Right
here. And second. That would be Amy. All in favor?
Right.
Aye. Sorry. Any opposition? Abstention? Nope. Motion carries. All righty.
Okay. And for those of you who don't know me, Coach Diaz, I say coach because I started here 2018-19 when my son was a senior. I signed up as an assistant for cross country because the coach needed help. And the kids haven't let me go. My son was a senior that year. So a little selfishly, I asked if we could start, I'm going to call it winter track program. They call it indoor track, but Delaware doesn't have an indoor track, unfortunately, but the show goes on and we compete. So we, there was a very talented sprinter, female sprinter, the soccer coaches were telling me about. So we started a program a little selfishly so my son could participate and get to experience it and so that the other kids could experience it. And we had a combined 19 boys and girls come out. So Mr. Bastinelli was clear that year, though, they had added some sports. Outdoor wasn't happening yet. He thought there'd be too much competition with the amount of kids we have in our school. So 1 year later, I hit him up, you know, it's time. Can we do this? This is 2020. He didn't think Mr. Anderson would go for it. And I came in with this big spiel. Mr. Anderson said, well, what do you need from me? And I said, your blessing. So here we are a couple years later, and I'm here for your blessing. 2 years ago, Joe Schell, my phone rang and it was Joe Schell. And we were at the Henlopen Conference Track Championships for outdoor that year. And of course, I had to take the call. And he just said, I see what you're doing. I want you to know that the track is coming. But in his words, it's academics before athletics. And that was the year Sussex Academy purchased Jefferson School. But we're on deck, is what he told me. So this has turned into a little bit more of a process than we expected it to be. As you all know, the foundation owns the property, and the foundation would have to come up with the money. We thought that this meeting would happen when Joe was in town. And what he said was he was going to stand next to me as the checkbook, as that, you know, this is going to cost some money. We're going to get this done. And in the meanwhile, we've won state championships. Our first female was Sadie Tunnel in the 400 meter. And Mr. Shaw asked Tim Bamforth to come along because he's a local expert in all things cross country and track and field. I've known Tim since high school, a long time ago. And so I didn't know he was going to be here till today, but I came, you know, loaded with my stuff. We have a state champion in Sadie Tunnel in 400 meters. And if you read the Cape Gazette a couple of years ago when she won that, Tim said, you've never seen that before. A champion in track for a school that doesn't have a track. And, you know, to make sure the boys got involved last year in the spring program, our 4x800 boys were state champions. We've had numerous conference championships. In that first year, our girls were the Southern Division champions of the Hennepin Conference with a very small but talented group. So this year for winter track, we had over 70 between the boys and the girls. So in order to be ready to tell you that we really feel the need and the desire is here, and I'm not going to pass this out to you, but I printed my roster from not this indoor, but cross country, because they're runners, they use the track, outdoor and indoor, three consecutive seasons. And we had 121 unique students. So there's 500 in our high school. We do have some eighth graders who participate as well. But that kind of growth with no facility, that kind of success with no facility. And what I will say is that, you know, I consider my programs, cross country, indoor, and outdoor, you know, the Statue of Liberty of sports here at the school. I turn no one away. We had a girl last year, her mom sent me an email. She wants to come out. She's high on the autism spectrum. Are you okay with that? I got it. Big, small, fast, slow. We take everybody. Everybody gets individual attention. So whether you're a thrower, a jumper, or just short distance, everybody gets measured by their performance, and we work a plan to make them better. The program is also about making really better young adults. I work very hard with being strict, assessing talent and finding talent, because a lot of these kids have no idea what track is. And when they see that track there, they will know. I came to school, I don't work here, as many of you know, I'm in business. So I come here at 3:15, three seasons of the year, and this is my passion. These kids are my kids, our kids are great. I walked through a couple of the lunches, and some of the kids had no idea we even had a program. So imagine what our numbers could be if we do that. So we're serving the school, we're representing the school well out there, and in the time of school choice, we want to make sure that we offer as much as we can. And when this thing is built, we would have everything other than a football team. These could be relined for football, by the way, so we could have one. And I brought a copy of the master plan, as I understand baseball is also looking to get here on campus, and I'm supporting them as well. There is room on our property for both, but we're here to talk about track. Mr. Shell, the checkbook, said, we got it, we're going. And that's what he said. We'll make it happen. We've worked with a company the company that actually built our turf fields is the company that would be building this track. And it's not cheap. It's about a $4 million project. But the track is built to last 10 years. And then after that time, one of the things I figured would be important to you guys as a board is operating expenses. Once this is done, turnkey, there are no operating expenses. you know, there's less grass to cut. Once a year, I was told you would have to freshen up the turf just like we do ours, and that might be $2,500. We don't have a track, as you know, so we travel everywhere. So we would be reducing busing. We'd be able to host invitationals. And I've been to invitationals. Tim, you can speak to this. The last chance invitational up at AI DuPont, it may have had 90 schools there. We could make money with this track. With one invitational a year, we could start up. Because what happens at 10 years, you have to look at the condition of the track. And the big expense would be is if you had to resurface it. And that could cost $300,000 to $400,000. So this facility needs to make money for the school and for the athletic program, and it can. It doesn't take a, you know, it. Tim is owns a Seashore Striders company. You know, they put on meets, and I checked with another guy who does those to say, you know, how much does it cost to have you come here and do FAT timing? This was Amory, and he charges $100 per school, and if there's enough teams, he gives you a discount. But the schools who host these are charging $400 a team, sometimes even $500 a team. So we'd be able to make money with concessions. We'd be able to make money just as a trap team. So we'd be able to help offset the potential resurfacing cost. In addition, this school then would be one of the only schools that I know of in Delaware with three turf fields. And I talked to Taylor and RJ. And they say that that would open up big time opportunities for soccer tournaments, lacrosse tournaments, and field hockey tournaments. Again, anytime we have tournaments, people are coming to see Sussex Academy, the grounds. I don't want anybody, and mind you, I've lost one person to school choice. And she left because her best friend went to Cape. So our programs are about kids sticking with us and not leaving for greener pastures. And that's in terms of running. You know, we've got a cross-country team who the girls 2 years in a row have won the conference championships, and they were fifth in the state. And we're getting better and stronger and deeper. A lot more participation from the younger levels helps. Having eighth graders come up helps. With this, we'd also be able to have a middle school track program. Offers more opportunities for these kids. And a lot of kids who I've coached didn't realize that this was going to be something that they really wanted to do. Again, the Cape Gazette, they just did an article last week about local athletes who are competing at the college level. And we had a very good number. Sadie Tunnel is now at Division I Colorado State. Savannah Sistrom, New Haven, performing well in her conference league. Emily Trout, said Sadie already. There was Alyssa Swan, Alyssa Oscar, Cassie Showers, Brett Parker, Logan Serpico, who was a soccer player, is up at Maritime in Maine. And he's running cross country. Jake Bundock, SUNY Maritime. He wrote me a nice handwritten letter thanking me for recruiting him because he got recruited when he went to the Maritime Colleges kind of like a trade shows type of thing, and they were coming over grabbing him. You're coming here, you're running for me. So it goes beyond Sussex Academy, and that's kind of why we do what we do. It's about the future. This is our future. And again, in Mr. Shell's words, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. It will be befitting Sussex Academy, hence eight lanes. Eight lanes means we can have a lot more people compete, and the meet won't be all night. Straightaways on both sides. It's not on here, but you know, basically he paid these guys enough to get this rendering going, but we're at a stopping point now. We can't go any further till the board says, hey, we approve this, and it goes to the foundation, and we take off and we get this built, hopefully by the fall. That's what they're telling me. It takes about 10 to 12 weeks to build it, but we do have to go to the Demarec Conservation District to make sure that the water, the displacement of the, you know, permeable surfaces with the impermeable surface. But I had somebody check with the Sussex County Conservation District a year ago when there was an issue with the tennis courts. And so a local state representative of ours checked with Jessica Watson, who's the head of that company. She said the track's not going to be a problem. The track was on the master plan, and there's already consideration for water runoff. with tanks that are underneath our existing turf fields. So basically, I'm here for your approval to vote yay. Let's let the foundation get moving on this and let our kids, you know, get what they really deserve. We have over 85 kids right now signed up for spring. So it keeps growing. I mean, at some point, you know, we the growth will stop or level off, but you know, we've got kids who want to do two sports. Your daughter's a good example. She came out indoor track just to get in shape and she qualified for states in a couple of events. That's a big deal. She didn't know she could high jump. That's where we come in. She didn't know she could long jump. Everybody knows you can run around. Max Real 3 years ago was a shy sophomore who happened, his mom is friends with my son's mom, and they asked about Max. And I said, bring him out. We'll find something for him. He's a big kid. I went up to him after the first couple of days and said, you know, you could be a state champ. And big eyes, what? Well, he was, he won the Hen Open Conference in shot put this year as a senior, and he was third in the state in the shot put. He would have had no idea what track is or was if we hadn't gone out and gotten him. So, you know, I'm trying to appeal to you on a lot of different levels, and maybe for your perspective, it comes down to dollars and cents. It's an investment in our, on this facility, on our property. It's also a great way to attract people to our school and to keep, you know, to keep us on the forefront of what we've already started. And we're not done. We're not done. We had a, we have an eighth grader here in the school who's one of the best in the nation. She won the 1600, the 800. So that's a mile, half mile, and the 2 mile at the Hen Open Conference Championship. And that's unheard of.
She's an eighth grader.
She's an eighth grader. I don't want to lose her to Padua. And I'm not kidding. Her lifelong dream, her mom went to Padua, was to go to Padua. She reads the Bible. She always thought that's where she was meant to go. So I've had two seasons to work with them and to ingrain, hey, you know, maybe you don't want to go up there. Maybe everything you would ever need is right here, other than the sisters up there in Padua. So I'm hoping that we can say, hey, this is another reason to stay. She's a really good soccer player also. But when I say one of the best in the nation, Tim, am I right? She ran an 18-12-5K as an eighth grader. She was fifth in the state. And that, when I say in the state, if you put Division I and II together across country, she was fifth in the state. Big deal. And the girls that she beat up from our school are also really good. Like Katia Geyer. Have you ever seen, Tim has never seen a girl who won the 3,200 meters at the conference meet and also placed in the top three in high jump. The girl's 5'2", and she can high jump 5 feet. She would have never known. And so this is the future. So any questions? You got to give me the first.
So
I'm going to give you a perspective up to where this is on the property. Yeah. Well, I sent these, we have a print shop and I sent these to my wife and I only wanted one page and she printed all of them, but okay. This is important for you to see. This was the original master plan. These are the two turf fields for perspective. They had mapped out a baseball field there. They had mapped out a track here, but this doesn't work anymore because when the solar tiles were put in, they needed stormwater retention, that big divot there. So this, because there's a hedgerow here, this doesn't work anymore. It doesn't fit, but it fits here. It fits here this way. So in the spirit of thinking about the rest of the kids here, in the spring, there are a lot of sports going on. We need six. Really, for it to work for the athletic director, she needs six working fields. So we'd be taking away two here, replacing it with one, but one that's turf, AstroTurf. And back here, if you look at Google Earth right now, you'll see an oval back there. We've worn an oval in the grass that we measured out, you know, that's an exact 400 meter oval. So inside that oval, we can fit another field, another practice field. So this project isn't just going to be about this. It's going to be about the third turf field. It's going to be about a track that all of the teams can use, the faculty, all this, the track is out there for everybody to use. We share, and we've got the turf field in the middle. We'll have another practice field. So we take away two and we replace the two. So this is where it's proposed. And on this, I was hoping that the track would slide a little further towards the back of the school so we could put the shot and disc here. The circles would be here going this way. So theoretically, this field, we may be able to put another field here, practice field. When I say practice field, the same as what we have here, 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 and here. So that could bode well for the baseball players, for example. If the baseball tries to squeeze in over here somewhere, you got to replace the fields. So if we put one here, another one here, and orient the track down here with a throwing here, because you don't need, but when the circles, the only time you need what's beyond the circles is when kids are throwing. So obviously we wouldn't have anybody throwing if you needed to use another practice field that was here. So we're trying to consider all the eventualities, but the decision is yours to allow us to move forward and get this done, because we're at a standstill with the engineers until this happens, so that Joe or the foundation writes him a check to get him going. And he sat in my office next to me and said, we've got you. This started a couple years ago with his promise to do it. So,
and he's mentioned that in the last board meetings he's been in. So does anyone else have
any plans to be a part of some of these? Because he's our building and grounds part of the board.
You'd reached out to him, and I think Joe has mentioned, talked to Lance about this. I don't know how, I haven't spoken to Lance directly, coached a daughter, and the shame she had such a love for field hockey and lacrosse, because that girl was D1 material and track. I always envisioned her running the 800 at Villanova, but she's down to Clemson. She's not playing the sport, but so I know Lance, but we haven't discussed it. All I know is the engineers that did this are the same ones that did that, and it fits.
Amy, Ed's going to eventually have a motion that's going to incorporate discussion with the Building and Grounds Committee. So, yeah.
And can I make a suggestion for that? I would like to hear from Taylor.
Yes. Oh, I've got Taylor sent me an email today.
I don't know that we can really accomplish much more at this specific meeting. I think that everyone agrees that we want the track to move forward, but we need to do it in a organized way.
Let's hear what Ed's motion is, because I think it includes that. Right, Ed? Don't let me down.
I left my office to take my wife to the eye doctor this afternoon. She had surgery on her eye, and I had to come straight here because it went late. But she did. I was going to print this out and hand it to you. So this is from Taylor. Jay, this email is intended to show my support for the addition of the track and turf field at Sussex Academy. The addition would provide our track team with an appropriate area to train on, the option to host meets and invitationals, and provide 3 turf fields for the varsity field sports to play. We currently utilize and require 6 fields for middle school and high school field sports in the spring. The addition of a future track, future baseball field, and 3 turf fields, while still providing a place for all of our sports to play, would be a big advantage in recruiting and retaining student athletes at Sussex Academy. You have my support as athletic director and as a coach in this project. Taylor Gibbs.
So can you forward that to Janet, so then Janet can share it with us?
Sure.
Thank you.
No, I don't think there's much signal here in the building, but you have. I think you all know that.
I also talked to Taylor and got a very similar sentiment to his email.
And I think that Brittany's right. I think most of us, it must be for everybody, but I think everyone around the table are completely in agreement that every student athlete at the school deserves to have a place to play their sport, run their races, do everything here on our campus. So I know me personally, I'm 100% for the track. I'm 100%.
Victor was one of my cross country guys last year. He ran
slowest
one out. No, he wasn't. But he got better.
So much better.
And like I said here before, we've had 121 unique kids between cross country, indoor, and outdoor already. So it's not to say you're working without it. It's really not the right thing to do. A couple of years ago, we had some hurdles by the nest, and one of our girls jumping in the grass got hit with an errant lacrosse ball. She was okay, but it's not ideal. Somebody could get hurt. But the flip side of it is we're showing that we have success already. And we have a lot of multi-sport kids. They utilize this cross training in their off seasons.
But I mean, you're running a great program, you're doing the right thing. I think we definitely do want the track.
Yeah, we just need
athletes. I mean, I think this is a
Need to do it in collaboration with the building and grounds committee, along with the baseball field, to make sure that we can do it collaboratively.
Good.
And that's like I said, this was the master plan does show the baseball field on our property. And it considered the tennis courts as well. So that's where the softball it's actually here. That's baseball. The track was there, but here, and we can replace that. So that was the and there's initial intention on the master plan. So
all right, I would make a motion to allow Coach Diaz, Sussex Academy Foundation, the athletic director, and the board chair of the Building and Grounds Committee to move forward with the development of an 8-lane track, pending review and continued discussion of placement and coordination with potential development of a baseball field and necessary water sewer structures. Further, I would ask that you, Coach Diaz, coordinate with our financial committee, specifically Brittany, to outline how fees incorporated through invitational events be set aside for annual turf replenishment and decadal to surface and for our athletic fields. Yes, all that? I can't remember my form, but I can write that down.
I second you.
Can I ask a question before we get into it?
Sure.
So is there, in that, did I hear Ed, inclusion of a strategic plan of all of these buildings? And, hearing a softball field is very like, are we going to continue to get requests every year for like a new facility or a new field? So is there a plan for that strategy?
I think part of the master plan. And then also through the building and grounds, that's kind of like
there. I think key too is to look at that. It says preliminary. I think what they've got to do is they've got to go back and get the engineers involved to figure that piece out. I think this is the key bit from stopping you from moving forward. You're ready to move forward with all that, but without the blessing of the board, the guy who
did this, they're the experts. They come and take the soil samples and they present the plan that goes to DENREC to see if they'll allow that. If they think that we've sufficiently considered stormwater runoff, that's really the biggest thing. That's one of the most important things for whatever reason here in Sussex County. You're taking ground that absorbs rainwater. You're replacing it with something. There has to be consideration for where that water goes. Even a baseball field, there are some impervious, the dugouts or some areas that they have to make consideration for that. So, but to your question there, I mentioned softball field because it was showing on here. We have a softball field. From my opinion, once we have the track and the baseball field, they're really, unless I don't conceive of anything else, we would really need to add.
At it from the operational
perspective. Right, and that's
for example, if this is a 10-year track, 10 years comes and it's a $400,000 bill.
Right.
Planning for that
baseball field comes, and then 10 years from now, that is an operational cost, and then you might be looking at in 1 year a hit of $800,000, $1 million. So, I'm looking at strategic planning at that perspective.
Do you have something similar to that?
I would like to work back with her.
Yes.
Discuss that. You know, since we did that.
Second the motion.
Yes,
I get it. Okay, Clatches. All in favor? I'm not going to repeat that. Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
I can find your email to the board and catch up with you and stuff. Because I specifically asked these guys, what's it going to, like you said, what could it cost? And, that means it needs to be budgeted, and we have to talk about, and, we can say, I'm going to host an invitational with 40 teams. You say where the money goes, because I wouldn't assume that it would go just specifically towards the track. My thought was it's got to be the school and then whatever athletics gets on that or whatever we put the show on, and we, even as it is now, we do have money in our team budget. There are times when I, many times, when I'm buying equipment or paying for invitational fees, and I'm a couple thousand in the hole where I need to put my thing together and send it to Donnie Boo to get reimbursed. But we have $14,000 in our account. We do water stops and raise money for the team. We've done, we've had almost a $10,000 fundraiser in the fall. So we'll do our part. And, you know, I also own a print shop. So we have, the school hasn't really talked to me yet, but we do a ton of work for a lot of 501c3s. We know how to raise money. Lover or hater, it has been since Gina left that we haven't done a campaign to raise money. And if you don't ask, you're not going to get it. But you've got an asset in me to do, you know, a mailing. And so surely for selfish purposes, if we need to raise money to make sure for the campaign, we would do it. That's what we do. So anyway, thank you for letting me speak. I really appreciate it. And appreciate your support and all your hard work. And keep reading the paper. Tim's got some good articles about the our kids. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to move on to the monthly board financial reports. We've got Michelle with us. Michelle, can you hear us? Yes.
Yes, I can. I can hear you. And I apologize for my tardiness, but I had back-to-back meetings and I couldn't get off of the other one in a graceful manner, so I apologize.
That's okay.
Did you just want me to start?
Yes, please.
Okay. As Brittany sent you the narrative, I'm just going to talk about the highlights. We are in a good financial position right now, 58.33% of the fiscal year, as you can see in the reports, have gone by. In January, we received $10,222 in cafeteria income, $17,567 from the pool, $11,617 in facilities, and we had a nice check for interest of $18,770. So as you can see in the report, we are projected based on 7 months of actual and 5 months of an outlook, being over our revenue budget by over $900,000. So that's the great news. And $217,000, roughly, of that amount was being under budget for our transportation revenue. And the bulk of the other was in the state appropriations, which again is based on the average tenure of our students, our teachers plus their education. And then also there was additional mental health funding this year. So from a revenue standpoint, we're looking at over $15 million in income. When we get down to expenses, we are on target. As I said before, we're at 58.33% year to date, and our overall expenses are at 62.5%, but that also includes purchase orders outstanding of $695,704. We're projected to overrun, you can see, is in facilities over $84,000, student instruction and activities. It's basically in travel expenses and over budget about $56,000. And then in miscellaneous over budget, almost $58,000. We do show that we are going to fund our long-term reserves with $166,470. And we still have excess funds on top of that. Currently, right now, the outlook shows that we will end the year with about 69.6 days of cash, which is still below the target of 75 days cash. When I look at the financials, We could ask ourselves, if we had this much surplus dollars, are we in good shape? And the reason, if you look at fiscal year 23 payroll versus our payroll this year, a big part of the savings, as we expected, was what came from our payroll and the amount of staff, the number of staff that we had. So when we go into budget for next year, and I know that there's going to be requests for additional staff, I just want us to keep in mind that our savings this year comes from the number of staff that we have this year. And I don't know what the revenue dollars are going to look like next year. So we just need to keep that in mind. And the board needs to determine how much money they want to put in surplus each year, because that's going to be the driving factor right now. Are there any questions? Any more details that you may want that you don't see in a narrative that Brittany prepared and sent to you?
I think it's great that it says total revenues are projected to come in with a surplus of $910,000. That's great, but I want to figure out how are we so far off, and I see the stuff at the bottom, but we're 169,000 over budget still. How are we so far off on our budget that, because if we didn't have the million extra, the 169 would hurt a lot worse.
I will have to look at each line of my state appropriations, and I will get that to Brittany. I will give you what I forecasted and what it actually came in as. If you notice, our local tuition was almost right on target. So I will get that to Brittany, and she can share it with you, but it was with the state appropriation calculation.
I mean, I can answer generally the expense question. So, I mean, really the 169 can be made up from the 144 expenses that we decided not to, we did not budget this additional FACR funded from reserves originally. So that's 144,000 that wasn't originally budgeted. And we've made several decisions so far this year knowing that we had a surplus in budget. We hired, I believe, 2.5 new people. That increased our expenses. We have a $19,000 Dazzle purchase in there. That increased our expenses. Our travel expenses are $42,000 over, but we got additional income because of that. Travel, but the buses. So a lot of the overages in our expenses are directly related to additional revenue that we received, the new hires and the travel, or decisions that we made after the fact because we knew we had additional revenue.
So if we're going to budget for next year as we're starting that, I just want to make sure we know where those numbers came in and if we really continue whatever we've done. Because if not, in essence, next year's budget is going to go up even more, we would assume, based off, right?
Yeah.
The salaries is going to go up as well, a certain amount, probably than 69, probably. Yeah.
The only thing that I did want to say was that I just want everyone to keep in mind, we're moving into budgeting for next year. And it's really, really nice to see this $750,000 surplus. And like Michelle said, the majority of that savings is in salaries. And there was a reduction in staff last year. And I want everyone to keep an open mind about whether or not that reduction in staff was good for the school, the students, and the other staff. You know, what do we like to see more, this huge surplus or
the school working better with more staff in the school. Because I think that that's going to be a point of discussion when we start the next.
Well, do
they have any other questions?
No, I think it's the practice point about precision in terms of flexibility estimation. I'd love to operate the school pretty lean in terms of, I don't need to make $900,000 for investment in LPRs. I want to make staff out of the better our student teacher ratio.
Yeah, and so it also, it's really, really hard to estimate revenue as early as we do. And in the past, we've always done a midterm updated budget where we finalize the revenues and we finalize the expenses. We didn't do that this year because we're getting monthly projections, which we can view this end of year outlook as an updated budget. And month to month, that hasn't been changing very much other than things that are very explainable, like the head of school position being open, that sort of thing. So there's probably not going to be precision in the budget that we're about to start, but there will be precision in the projections as soon as we have enough data to get them. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, September, October. Once we have 2 months of actual operating expenses, I would think. Mm-hmm. And the September 30th count is over and we know the revenue.
And we also know what the salary scales are for next year. The governor is proposing 2%, but the teacher stipend is going to look different next year than it does this year.
Desires for next year?
No, it's going to be a flat stipend next year versus 6% of the state scale. So we will get a little less revenue, but our expenses will go down too.
Why will our expenses go down?
Because the stipend amount is going to be less and the state fully funds the stipend.
Thank you, Claire.
Any other questions on financials before we have a motion to vote? No further questions. I'll entertain a motion to approve the financials.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Mr. Shell.
Joe, I didn't even know you joined. I was so surprised when I heard your voice.
Can you please just let us state your name for our recording, please, Joe?
My name is Joseph Shell. I'm a board member emeritus.
Wonderful. Thank you. We're glad you could join us.
Thank you, I'm late.
And do you have an update for us for the Sussex Academy Foundation update? That's the next on the agenda.
Not really an update. It's just same financial situation that the foundation has about $1.8 million, which we will likely spend on athletic situations over the next couple of years.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We're going to go ahead and move on to the committee reports. The first is the executive committee. Our executive committee, we meet probably 2 weeks, and we also meet with Janet before these meetings just to coordinate the agenda. I don't really have anything to report out other than Chris Moody did mention to me today that we do have to be, we have to review the term limits that everyone currently on the board has, because there's depending on what year you're in, You can renew, or you can be asked to renew, or there's other sort of rules around that. So we're going to be updating that chart, and we'll bring it back next month so that we can identify term limits and that sort of thing. But other than that, I don't think we have any other executive committee updates, do we? Ed or Patches? The next is finance. Do we have a finance update?
We don't. We have not met since the last meeting, and we won't meet again until May.
Okay. So no update on that one. The next one's outreach. Do we have an outreach update? I don't even know who's on outreach. We don't have an outreach update today. Right. You mean hiring? Yeah, hiring is possible for the police. Alrighty. Building and grounds. We do not have an update today because we don't have Lance. The next one is governance. We're gonna talk about the two policies that we're going to be reviewing today. That's in new business. So I'm gonna defer the governance committee because our update is gonna be under new business. And then school performance committee, which is also the hiring committee, is also going to be reporting out under new business. Janet, I assume you're gonna be providing that update, or Justina and Aaron.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll defer that to under new business as well. All right, that brings us to new business, and that brings us to the procurement policy 611A that everyone received. I apologize, you received it late. One of the reasoning behind that is that we're not going to vote on that one or the admissions today. Patch has pointed out recently that we should be doing two readings. So this technically would just be the first reading and review of these policies. And then when we come back next month, we can vote on those policies. And in the interim, if anybody has questions or comments or suggestions, because these two policies, especially the procurement policy, it's a little tricky. So let me first of all pull out that one. And I don't even think it would be worth anyone's time right now for me to go through this procurement policy because, frankly, I don't understand it as well as I should to do a report out on it. Andy can share.
Yeah. Do you want to share? You want to share what the issues were with the old policy?
There were two things that need to be updated. On the 611A, I don't think we did 611A.
We didn't do that one yet.
I think the only thing that we did, we changed on B, is the same one, is it was referring to food procurement. And our procurement policy should not really specify food, it should be for every purchase. And then the procurement thresholds needed to be updated as to what requires. Going to bid, getting quotes, and things like that. Those were the two issues that we
had. And so, I guess one of the questions that I had, and I'm not sure if we can answer it today, is the micro purchases. I could not find that in any.
They changed the verbiage. So, the new verbiage I thought you should replace the old verbiage.
Is there no longer micro purchase? Where can I find the new verbiage?
It's on the.
You mean this one? This one does not identify small purchase, large purchase, or micro purchase. That's what I was confused about because I looked at the code as well, and the code does not identify micro purchase. It just identifies small, large. So I took it out, but I don't know if that's right.
What I sent you was how it should read. So you can take that whole section out and replace it with the new thresholds and things. They changed it.
What I think would be helpful for me and maybe the entire board is if we send this to our school lawyer, Jim Taylor, for him to look at it, because it's probably closer to his expertise since it is in the code, the Delaware code, what we have to do and what we have to abide by. I just, it's not my expertise. Is everyone okay if I forward that on before the next meeting and then I can relay what he says? And I'll and then I'll do the same with the 611B, because it's just not easy to read. Code's never wrong. But does anyone have questions on what was forwarded? Or should we, do you want to just defer on questions?
Which one are you asking about? Are you asking about admissions or are you asking about
611A?
Oh,
yeah. And Andy, I see that the definitions for material and non-professional services, professional services and public works. Okay. Did you have a question, Patrick?
Yeah, I was just making sure I was
reading. Oh, sorry. Okay. Any other comments on 611A? I'm going to forward it to our attorney and I'll report back on that one. As well as 611B. The next one is policy 501, admissions and enrollment. This was brought to the board's attention by Janet. And Janet, do you wanna indicate what the biggest issue was that you wanted to make sure that we addressed?
I don't think the policy's been updated since 2014. Mm-hmm. And since then, a lot has changed. The school choice window has changed. We no longer have a public lottery. We use a third-party vendor to use our lottery. We are no longer a 6-12 institution. We are a K-12 institution. So all of the updates are just basically either updating state regulations as far as school choice and just updating how we handle our lottery and enrollment system. So Andrea is our enrollment expert. So she and I went through this and kind of change everything that we thought needed to be updated based on how we now do things and how the state now operates when it comes to school choice and the open enrollment window, and then send it to Jen with all the suggested highlights.
I think I sent the wrong one to the board. I do.
The one we have, Jen has highlighted text.
It looks, oh, you do have a highlighted text?
Yeah, and crossed
out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I had done another different one. And okay, good. So you've got the highlight yellow?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, great. Thank you. Okay.
Good. It's come up because, you know, families have questions. One of the biggest differences is the state does not allow us to use a preference essay anymore. That is not allowed. That is still in this policy. We have got to take that out. We no longer have a preference category for the essay that was on the application.
So when did that change, the essay?
21?
20.
Yeah.
20. Okay. Thanks. Any questions on this one, on the admissions? 501. Thank you for doing that too, taking the initiative and making those changes. That's helpful. Any other comments or questions on 501?
This is what I'd like to see the lawyer actually review as opposed to the other one. The other one too, if you don't feel comfortable, because you got to feel comfortable before you present it. But I feel like this one, having reviewed the code around choice, there's a lot of things in school choice code that have been modified because of the charters. They conflict. We found out like this week it reads receive an LEA, receive a charter, and then it outlines charter magnet vocational differently, but it depends upon what paragraph you're reading toward, which paragraph in code you read dictates what you're defining. And usually it's defined at the top of the code, and then read that entire section. You can't with this. And that was actually clarified, I think, by Mr. Taylor, too.
Right.
So this is kind of one I think he should read to make sure we're not conflicting what's in there.
Sure.
But that's the only thing I would say is make sure that he has reviewed it to make sure we've not conflicted ourselves.
I think any of our policies that are also applicable to a code or part of the Delaware code should be kind of reviewed by him. He's been super helpful thus far. So I think that if everyone kind of thinks that's smart, because we just want to make sure we're in compliance with the law, with our policies. So I'll send that one to him as well.
And I wasn't discounting the procurement at all. I just wanted you to know this is one that's very effective.
I wasn't very clear with the procurement presentation. Any other questions on 501? Comments? Okay. We only have about 200 more policies to review and approve before the end of the year. Sorry, Janet.
Before the end of the year. Before Janet leaves.
Before Janet leaves
work? Before Janet. Wasn't that your pet project to finish the policy?
Yes, I will stay on the board if I'm allowed until that's done. I can tell you that. Okay, hiring committee progress report is the next on the agenda. So Justina and Aaron?
Sure, we can start. And then Janet, maybe you can pick up when we left off. So sure, the committee has met twice. We met January 31st with the folks from Dazzle, Allison Travers, who's the assistant director, and Kevin Fitzgerald, who is the director of that group. We had a great meeting. Kevin Fitzgerald is a seasoned superintendent. Many of you probably know Kevin Fitzgerald. So he's been through this process, not only locally, but also nationally. And he really kind of brainstormed with us and walked us through questions that we might have, what the process would look like, could look like. So where we landed after that meeting is kind of a, what can they do for us and what do we need to do on our own? So our second meeting was really focused on us doing what we needed to do to kickstart the process. The things that we needed to handle so that we can hand over to Kevin and Allison. So that second meeting entailed us creating the, actually Janet had done some of the homework to get us started with the principal accountabilities of the head of school position. We wordsmithed it, talked through some of the things that we discussed during the first meeting. We created our enticing advertisement that was going to go out, and Kevin and Allison then reviewed that and made sure that, you know, they put their spin on it to help us out. They also did some homework for us around, you know, how the application process works. Applications are going directly to Kevin Fitzgerald for him to review and kind of screen for us. And we talked through the timeline. And so we do have some questions that I think we need to pose to the board so we can make sure that we fill in the timeline a little bit more concretely. So this is really just sort of our overall draft, but we have some additional steps along the way that we're going to need to get some clarification. And some of you have been through the process prior and may have some ideas related to kind of what we've done before. Chris serves on our committee. Matt's been super helpful because he was part of the original process several years ago. So what Aaron cast out is our timeline, and I'm happy to report that we have actually checked off our first bullet. We have advertised the position. The committee did really great work, but I also have to really do a shout out to Janet, who kind of took the work that we had done and did that communication back and forth with Dazzle to just make sure that we got it out on time. So that's fantastic. The second bullet you'll see is that Dazzle will conduct the initial screenings. So we're working on that process because that's happening right now. The application is out there publicly, so people are able to apply, and we're hoping for a report on that at some point. We do need to prepare for interviews. So our committee is going to need to come back together again, because we have some homework there with creating the questions that we want to ask that we can get over to Kevin and Allison for them to review and add to the interview questions that we create. So we'll get that done.
Justina, when does the application period end for submitting applications?
I think it's open until filled.
He's telling candidates open until filled, but they're going to start to invite for interviews on March 20th.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're going to keep it open.
Yes.
Okay, that was one of my questions. Yes. Online, it doesn't say when it's closing. It doesn't say
it's still filled.
Yes. So we'll get together soon to create those questions, Janet, so we can meet that March 20th deadline for the interviews. And then you'll see the next bullet. What we're planning for is end of April, beginning of May. We're conducting those interviews with various stakeholders, which we're going to put a pin in because that's one of the questions that we need to kind of bring to the board. Then in May, we'll select final candidates to have meet and greets with the board. We're thinking around May 15th. That was something that Chris shed light on that happened in the last recruitment process, where the board had an opportunity to sit down and talk with potential candidates that had risen to kind of the final candidacy level, so we could really kind of have a comfort level with those candidates. And then decide on the new hire somewhere around May 30th or so. That might be a little bit of aggressive timeline, but we all agree we want to be a little aggressive, and that way if we get behind a bit, we're sticking to the timeline. And then June would look like a negotiation of the salary and the contract with the candidate, the board, and obviously legal would be involved. And so that would put us probably in a good position to have a fiscal year start of July 1 or so with the new individual, which would give Janet time to transition with that individual, the onboarding process that has to happen. So at the start of the school year, we might have this individual in place. That's all contingent on the fact that we'll be successful in the recruitment process, obviously. And we've had those conversations with Janet on what that might look like. And I think we talked about that the last time. We did wrestle with the salary, and we did settle on $125,000 to $160,000 as a range. Brittany was helpful in that process as well, trying to figure out what the right amount is. And the research went into that, and it seems a reasonable salary. So where we are now, Janice alluded to, is that Dazzle was getting those applications, and it sounds like March 20th is when we can start the interviews. So that's where we are. What have I left out?
No, I mean, I got an update from Kevin this morning. So as of this morning, we have three completed applications, three he thinks very strong candidates, four requests for phone call that he's going to be having some phone call conversations tomorrow. And then there's 11 partial submissions that are missing parts, either references or things like that. So he said he's been getting a lot of inquiries, and it really helped to have the salary range put in there, because that was the first question that most people had. So far it's been well.
So do we want to talk through before our questions come in for us? Do we want to talk through what the stakeholder part looks like?
I think that's the next piece that has to be figured out.
Yeah. And the committee, anybody, you can jump in. But essentially, one of the questions that we asked is, what does that part look like? Because you could do an open forum. That's one option, where we advertise to the community that the final candidates would do a presentation, like we hear, right, in the grounds. The warning on that one is that when you open it publicly, you're opening publicly. So you might to emphasize, right? So you might have people that aren't even affiliated with the school who come and may ask questions. And so the risk is there an agenda that individuals might have that could skew that kind of interview, so to speak? So the other option was small stakeholder groups, which would include faculty groups. Student groups and stuff.
Even maybe possibly parent groups, but that's a discussion that we should.
And so we have to, what we decide then would determine a bit of a timeline adjustment, perhaps, right? So we have to say, okay, we're going to do student groups this day, we're going to do faculty groups this day, parent groups this day. That builds, you know, that's fine.
How many people are you thinking might make it to the stakeholder stage? Like, how many candidates?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to say at this point, but.
Two or three. We might add two that we probably
That was last time. And they did kind of school visit, right? Were they not
school visit? No, so right there at the official, went to fish line. Yeah,
had
conversations there. It was very informal.
Like a mixer.
It was like a mixer. Yeah. So like Janet's talking to the person and they kind of did their thing and then we just kind of went on to the food and then somebody else walked in and just had a very informal
conversation.
Who was that? Just I don't recall there being anyone else there, just the board members.
Was it Ben for two
different Two, individually.
Two separate
things.
Two separate hours.
They weren't there together. Okay. Yeah, no, they weren't together. No, that would be a little weird.
6:30.
I guess you could do that, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Right. The second one, everyone's more drunk.
Yeah. Last place, she asked.
I guess the question is, you know, what does the board feel like in terms of the stakeholder groups? Where do you feel more comfortable with? Do you feel more comfortable with a public event where you have all the groups coming, or do you want to do something more structured where, you know, it sounds like maybe like a Tuesday, candidate one comes into the school, there's a tour, there's, you know, at this hour, this group, at this hour, this group, at this hour, this group.
I would prefer that. I think that I don't think the public version of that would be wise, but I think that the smaller structure stakeholders definitely have like the stakeholder for the staff and teacher. I think students too, and I think parents, like you said, those three are really good.
Would Kevin lead that? If we had smaller groups, because he would be going to the facility.
That's great. Good work.
Well, he was very helpful at that because, like, we didn't even think that somebody might come, you know, like, just as soon as it's an agenda, you want to think somebody might come and really not have good intentions. So,
just never knows.
Yeah.
They've been very responsive. Like, when I email them questions, they respond the same day. It's just very, so far, it's been good. And Brandy's been helpful with the job posting, making sure everything is done in time with Anna. So far,
the ad on Facebook looks nice.
Yeah,
looks really nice. So, yeah, great job.
And I neglected to say another school is probably Janet, we can reach the members that help set up. Who are those groups and what does that look like? Does that sound good to you? I know previously there was separate staff meetings that met with those two candidates. So at the time, it's in the years, but separate. So what might be important, I think it would be important to figure out what you want that staff and state leader to look like. I'm not sure that should be what I'm saying. you know, and staff have approached me about that. And asked, you know, it's a really special board, so you know,
I would say that it would be a group of staff, and maybe even multiple groups of staff, like yes. you said, that you know, different thought processes and needs and stuff like that. And I mean, we could even explore doing something like a forum, but with staff,
mm-hmm.
Where it leads to much more control.
It's a good idea.
You know, I know they mentioned anything, and it sounds kind of weird, but like the parochial schools, like for example, like St. Elizabeth High School right now up in Wilmington, they're hiring for a head of their school as well. And with how they do their hiring process is that they have principals from other schools doing the interview process. So they're having like the St. Mark's principal come in interview and the Ottawa. I just got an email from Jackson's Wilmington explaining their hiring process, and it was the different principals are coming to conduct
these interviews. School has sort of different needs and dynamics, and
isn't that weird?
It's very weird.
Isn't that weird? But if you're talking about different stakeholder groups, like that would be a different stakeholder group coming and being part of the interview process. So I don't know if they talk about different charter school groups being a part of it. Because they do run different, everyone's different, but the charter schools being part of it.
No, the only thing I can speak to is that Kevin's very familiar with the other charter programs and so there are some model systems of state, it sounds like, that we're looking to. So, it, you know, they're using a reference, but not necessarily as somebody that would come in to.
And I think the one thing I would add just because we've spent as a board really a lot of time talking about this, and Kevin was really great in facilitating that thinking process for us as a committee on what do you want as head of school? Do you want a building administrator, or do you want? And I think you use kind of a sort of a district office strategic thing overseeing everything. And there were lots of questions kind of back and forth for us to then, you know, some, I think many of us on the committee kind of knew that he helped us to sort of say, we want this person who is managing all of it, who's present in the buildings, who's showing up, you know, like in elementary school, to drive away. And we talked about a lot of those things, so you'll see that reflected in the job description and the way that we changed some of the perspective of this. So we listened to what, you know, our conversations have been and really tried to increase that. So it's been a good process, and we hope all of you are happy with it, and we'll call Aaron and I to do the next step of those interview questions, and then we'll put that back in the box. Have it be suggest getting the I don't you didn't really specific you say, but I think
we spoke about part. We spoke about focus groups and first putting a survey out there who would be interested.
Yeah.
And then put them in specific groups based on their needs, the age of their child, and things like that. He said maybe a couple of different focus groups that
because I can just see parents email and all 578 parents
right.
being like, I want to be in charge of hiring, I want to help, I want to, and I can see again 500 parents wanting to be part of this process or be kind of guide us in how to select the parents that are going to be a part of this process.
Which I should say, you said everybody sends their application to Kevin, which is in there. But if you go to Join Delaware Schools, there's also an apply button. So are they actually applying through the system and then somehow get?
They're being sent to email that's been
specified.
Yes, and then if any slip through and go to Franny, she's forwarding them.
Right. So. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure there's because I know it looked like
right.
maybe
right. so far it's actually been pretty consistent. It's worked out well.
Yeah, we talked about that process and did the research and figured it all out.
What's the question for the board about the interviews with various stakeholders? Mm-hmm. Because it sounds like Kevin could have prepared a potential focus group, so he has strategies to wait for a stakeholder.
Yeah,
So I just, we just need to know, did you prefer to do a public forum, or did you prefer to do that individual statements? Because I'm hearing everyone says, we want to do the state forum. So now what I think I'm doing is to kind of get the interview questions together, or sort of get our thoughts around what the stakeholder groups might look like, and who they would consist of, get Kevin's feedback and help. And we do that kind of negotiation with him, so he can help set us up for that. So I would assume, looking back at our timeline, by the time we come back to the next board meeting, we have an update on that whole piece for everyone and Ed and Jen, obviously throughout the process. That's good. That's good. On that. Any other questions on the minority committee?
Yes.
Yeah, great job. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Very nice to see.
In a very short period of time.
So yes.
Yes. Right. So I think that is the end of our agenda. It's not my, I do not believe we need an executive session tonight. So that's a first. So we will be, so we will take a motion. Because I've always gone to executive. Motion to adjourn.
Did you, can I ask you a question? Have you had presentations? Have you had a presentation from the track guys?
Yes, we did, Joe. It was excellent. And then Ed made a motion that the project will move forward and go through consultation with the Building and Grounds Committee, Lance, and some other issues on that motion that I can't remember. But it is moving forward.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much. We heard you're the checkbook.
Sort of.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Joe. All right. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
That was Jill. And second?
Second.
That was there. All right. Amy, sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. And any extensions? No. Motion carries. Adjourned. Thank you all.
See you guys. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Janet.
Thank you, Joe.
Bye.